Previously on Adventures in Odyssey.
Wow, what in the world happened here?
Yeah, it looks to me like the front of the shop was pelted with balloons filled with paint. They call themselves the Vigilantours.
I've heard of them.
Did you do anything to annoy them, Whit?
I had a conversation yesterday with Ms. Adelaide.
I'd like to hang up a poster. It's a citywide event called Let's Get Together.
Oh?
It's a festival celebrating family and inclusivity and tolerance.
I can't promote an event that celebrates ideas that I believe are contrary to God's word.
All right, class. I have an essay for you to write. What difference does it make whether we're men or women? What's gender have to do with anything? And it's due tomorrow.
Matthew.
Hey, Emily.
I just went past the school office, and guess who I saw? Buck Oliver.
I'm really sorry for everything that happened, for hurting you.
We were just wondering if, you know, you want to walk home with us.
Great. Does this mean we're okay?
Let's just say we're okay to start from here.
Hi, Miss Kendall and Miss Kendall. Lovely to see you both.
Hi, Eugene.
Hi.
So you can hang out while I work, Jules. Just look around. You didn't see the shop last time you were here.
Okay, I'll do that. Huh. Though, I'd rather do something useful.
Oh, Eugene, Jules wants to help.
I won't be any good at making milkshakes or doing fancy sundaes.
Huh, well, we need a replenishment of plastic cutlery.
Sporks. They're in the storeroom, just down the hall.
I'll find them.
Good.
A box should do it.
It is nice to see your half-sister again.
Yeah, kind of a surprise. So, Eugene.
Yes?
Buck Oliver?
Yes.
With you and Katrina?
Yes.
Is that all you have to say?
Yes.
Figures. You can go on for hours about the life cycle of a newt, but anything personal? Zip.
Miss Kendall, how much would you expect me to say of a personal nature in a crowded ice cream shop?
Well, that never stopped us before.
Shh.
Hi, Connie. Eugene.
Oh, hi, Camilla.
Yes, Camilla?
Is Buck coming here today?
Oh, he should be here imminently.
Cool. Is that soon?
Yes, soon.
Camilla, do you know Buck?
We met before. Kinda. I want to meet him again. All the girls at school were talking about him coming back.
All?
How did they know anything about him?
Word gets around.
Huh, that's astonishing.
Not really. Some people think of him as a charming and handsome but misunderstood roguish character.
What? But that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
It's kind of cool that he never went to school and wandered around with the circus and carnival, seeing the world and having all kinds of adventures some of us will never have.
But that's not an accurate portrait of his life at all.
It seems pretty close.
It landed him in jail. Now, Camilla, you know better than to be impressed by such things.
Oh, I do. What time will he get here?
Perhaps this was a bad idea.
Here he comes.
So after about the sixth elephant, I said, I think you might want to have his teeth checked.
Hi, Buck.
Hi.
This is my little sister, Camilla.
Hi, Camilla. You look familiar.
I do?
I know what it was. I must have had a dream about you.
No. Cease and desist.
What's wrong?
A word in the kitchen, Mr. Oliver, if you please.
Okay, Eugene.
This way.
Matthew, did you have to say I was your little sister?
I'm sorry, Mr. Eugene. I didn't mean anything by it.
I understand, Buck, but you must consider your position. It would be wrong for these children to turn you into a hero for your misdeeds or to idolize a life that led you astray.
Yes, sir. It's only that I like being liked, especially after today.
A perfectly human desire, and I apologize for not having the opportunity to ask you about your day.
Most of the kids don't know what to do with me, so they stayed away.
Oh. Well, I have no doubt that will change with time. But it will be difficult. Perhaps we should have educated you at home.
No, please. I'd rather go to school.
Sorry, Eugene.
Not at all, Mr. Whittaker. We shouldn't be having private meetings in the kitchen.
Well, of course you should. Hello, Buck.
Hi, Mr. Whittaker.
Eugene, my insurance agent is supposed to show up sometime this afternoon to talk about the front of the shop.
Ah, okay. I'll be watchful.
Are you going to have to pay to paint the front?
Probably. The insurance will cover only part of the costs.
Well, I could do it.
Paint the shop?
I painted an entire wing of Juvenile Hall.
Oh, no, Buck, I can't ask you to do that.
You're not asking. I'm volunteering. I want to do it if it'll save you some money. I want to make up for some of what happened.
No, you don't have to make up for anything, Buck. You already paid any debt.
But I want to. It's important for me to try. And isn't community service a part of my probation? Painting the shop would fulfill part of that duty. Isn't that right, Eugene?
Well, it's true. And, you know, it would be a help, Mr. Whittaker.
Well, let me find out what my insurance policy covers.
Let me know.
Well, I will. I'll be in my office, Eugene.
Thank you, Mr. Whittaker. Buck, that was a generous gesture.
There isn't much I can do, but I hope to do what I can.
Jules? Connie. Did you get lost? What have you been doing all this time?
Trying to find those sporks.
They're right here in front of you, in the big box, with the large letters that say plastic sporks.
Oh, I looked right past them. This place is like a museum. All the old equipment and machines.
Yeah, well, Witt stores a lot of things in here for safekeeping.
Probably why he calls it a storeroom. I guess I should get these sporks out to the counter.
Yeah.
Don't know what to write. I mean, what's Miss Adelaide asking us to do?
We're supposed to write about gender.
You're doing an essay about geese?
No, Camilla. Gender is all the things that make you a girl or Matthew a boy. It's the difference between feminine and masculine. That's all.
If that's all it is, then what's Miss Adelaide asking us to write an essay about?
Well, I think she wants us to explain why gender really shouldn't matter.
But it has to matter that I'm a boy and you're a girl.
Yeah. Miss Adelaide wants us to explain why. What if I don't want you to think of me as a girl? Or if you don't want me to think of you as a boy?
But I am a boy.
What if one day you decided you didn't like being masculine and wanted to be more feminine?
No way.
But Miss Adelaide is saying you should have a choice about that. And people should tolerate you if that's what you want. I think.
I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Me too. If I'm a boy and I have all the wiring that makes me a boy, then I can't expect people to pretend like I'm not a boy, or that I'm a girl, or whatever. I mean, we're one or the other, aren't we?
I'm just trying to explain what I think Miss Adelaide wants in the essay. She's saying that you should be allowed to be whoever or whatever you want. That's toleration and being inclusive. Being a boy or girl shouldn't matter.
But it does matter. It's like saying that God made a mistake when I was born a boy. Or you were born girls.
Who ordered the sundae?
I did.
Well, here you go, Camilla.
Thanks. Hey, look. It's a spork. I guess if they can change spoons and forks, why not boys and girls?
That's different.
What were we talking about?
Oh, an essay Miss Adelaide wants us to write. It's about why it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl.
Oh.
I keep saying that it does matter. Though it's hard to explain why.
Well, you'd have to go back to the book of Genesis for your explanation. Remember? God created Adam and then said it wasn't good for him to be alone. He created Eve, a woman, to go with him. Together, they are complete, unified. Like God is unified as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, boys being boys, and girls being girls, and how they fit one another is very important as a representation of God. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Sure.
Nope, not a word.
Ask Mom and Dad, Camilla.
But I can't say any of that in an essay for Miss Adelaide.
Well, you could, but she probably won't like it. I don't think she accepts the idea that God designed us with specific purposes in mind.
You should tell them about the fountain pen.
Fountain pen?
Actually, I came up with another way to explain it.
Well, I'd like to hear it if it'll help with this essay.
Well, come on up to the train room and I'll show you.
Matthew, what's going on?
Hi, Olivia. Mr. Whitaker's gonna explain about God's design.
Using the train set?
Oh, this is a bigger crowd than I expected.
Well, Camilla said you wanted everyone to come up.
Indeed.
Well, not exactly.
I thought this was important, so everyone should see it.
Well,
yeah.
That's all right.
Mr. Whitaker, you're going to give us a train demonstration?
Well, I'm using the trains to help us understand about things like marriage and family and men and women.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, most of you know that I've spent a few years building up this train set.
Oh, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been recognized as the county's largest, with particular attention to the authenticity of every detail.
Right.
Whether it's with the trains themselves, or the vast countryside, or the meticulous attention to the scale of the cities, cars,
Thank you,
wow.
Eugene, thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I've always wanted a train set like this.
Well, then, Buck, step up to the controls.
Me?
Please. And Matthew, as the one who helped me with the new engine, how about putting it on the tracks?
Sure.
All right, and add a few passenger cars, too.
Okay.
I'm calling our new engine the WP-500 for Whitaker and Parker.
Very good.
Wow, our family name is on a train.
That's right, Camilla. It bears our name because it bears our work.
Oh.
You could say that every part has our fingerprints on it.
Literally.
Now, Connie, turn on the main power switch, please.
Okay.
Oh, and Olivia, move around to Tuxedo Junction. They're on the right.
Okay.
Now, there's a switch I'll want you to throw later to move the train from one track to another.
All right.
Emily, how about going over to that main train terminal? I'll need you to take care of a couple of the cars there.
Will do.
This seems pretty complicated for a simple example.
Well, the example is simple, Jules. But the act of creation is usually complicated. All kinds of things are designed and arranged and organized before we arrive. It's what we've inherited.
Ready, Mr. Whitaker?
Oh, thanks, Matthew. Now let's see if this thing works.
Oh, boy.
Buck?
Yes?
Give it some power, please.
Will do, sir.
Trains were designed to get people or freight from one point to another. Handled properly with respect to its design and limitations, the train is an amazing invention.
I get it. This is just like God creating the world and stuff.
Well, for now, let's just stay with the trains and what I've designed.
Okay.
You can draw your own conclusions later. Now, Buck, you can speed it up.
Yes, sir.
You can go faster than that.
All right.
What?
Faster, please.
Oh, faster?
Mr. Whitaker.
This doesn't look good. Mr. Whitaker, it's going to hit a curve.
More power, Buck.
Oh,
if you say so.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's going pretty bad.
As we all knew it would, the train came to that curve and derailed. Go ahead and put it back on the track, Matthew, but going the other direction.
I hope we didn't mess up the new paint.
Well, we can fix the paint, but imagine the things we can't fix. I designed the train to go safely at certain speeds, taking into consideration hills and curves. Go too fast, bad things will happen. Buck, power up that second unit.
Yes, sir.
That train is the Santa Fe Special. Oh, beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But, Mr. Whitaker, you know they're headed for each other. They're gonna collide.
Well, I know that, and you know that. But does the driver in the train? Maybe not, from his limited point of view. Or maybe he knows and he doesn't care. He wants to go the way he's going no matter what.
Oh, Whit, you've made your point. It's gonna be messy if those trains have a head-on collision.
Indeed, that's right.
Mr. Whitaker?
Oh, no. Olivia, throw that switch to your right, please.
All right. Wow.
Olivia just took action to avert a terrible crash. But if Olivia hadn't been there, there would have been a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And not only for the driver, but for everyone in his train. And for the other train. And maybe for the people and property near the track.
That's true.
Driver's decision affects everyone around him. Now, let's bring the WP-500 around to the main junction.
Oh, this is where I come in.
That's right. Now, slow it down, Buck, and bring it to a stop by those freight cars.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's another thing to consider, what this train was designed to do and what it wasn't. For example, I designed it to move cars of people. But there you have freight cars filled with, actually, I put a lot of rocks in them.
No.
Matthew, please attach those cars to the engine.
Okay. They're heavy.
Mm. That train can't pull a big freight car like that.
No? Well, let's see. Okay, Buck, take it away.
Sure.
That train is struggling.
But it's moving.
Slowly. What do you think will happen to the engine if I allow it to pull those cars all the way around the track? And imagine what will happen when it gets to that hill.
It'll definitely stop or burn out.
Yeah. Exactly. I didn't design the train to pull that kind of weight. Though I suppose the driver could ignore the limitations of my design and try it anyway. But there will be consequences.
But even things that do what the designer wanted don't always work the way they should.
Well, that's true. Regular use or poor maintenance could wear things out sooner. Things break. That's the nature of the world in which we live. And that's when we fix what we can or do our best with what we have. But those things don't mean we ignore what the train was designed to do. Listen, I have an idea. Let's get rid of our limited thinking and free the train up completely. We'll unhook it from all the cars and let it go wherever it wants. Matthew, rip up the tracks.
Oh, no, Mr. Whitaker.
You're joking, right? I mean, the train can't run without the tracks.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if that's what the driver really wants, what if he feels like the tracks are holding him back from his true desires?
His true desires won't get him very far if that train comes off the tracks, right?
All right, we'll leave the tracks alone. Thanks for your help, everyone.
Wait, that's it?
That's it?
But I don't see how the trains...
Look, I know it's a flawed example, but I hope you get the gist of what I'm talking about. God created men and women according to a design that reflects his infinite knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of his creation. So whether we're talking about being designed male or female, or what we call marriage or family, or any of the other things that make us human beings, we all make choices about following God's design or not. But remember, our choices have consequences.
Mr. Whitaker?
Hmm?
Your discussion about the designer and the trains was intriguing.
Well, it was a small effort to explain a fairly big truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it needs some work. And it'll probably raise a few more questions. Well, at least I hope it does.
Mr. Whitaker?
Hi, Olivia.
Hi. I was wondering if we could talk for a minute.
Sure.
Somewhere else?
All right. Eugene, if you don't mind, I'll be right back.
Oh, not at all.
Well, it's nothing major, but I wanted to ask you about what happened with...
Oh, Buck?
Yes, Eugene?
Well, what are you doing?
Oh, I was just cleaning off the tables.
Well, thank you. Did somebody ask you to do that?
No. But I'm here. I thought it might help.
How very conscientious.
Is there anything else I can do?
I don't believe so.
There has to be something.
Oh, it isn't necessary.
Maybe not, but I'm gonna nag you until you tell me what you need done.
Well, very well then. I suppose you could take out the trash.
Happy to.
So, you're not sure about how I handled the situation with Miss Adelaide and the poster for the Let's Get Together Festival, huh?
Well, I'm not sure what's wrong with promoting an event that wants to help people be more accepting and tolerant.
Well, like I told her, it depends on what we're accepting and tolerating. You saw my explanation at the train set.
Yeah, and that's fine for people who believe God was our designer. But not everyone does.
Well, I don't assume they do.
Okay, so we should be tolerant with people who don't agree with us.
Well, of course we should. But being tolerant doesn't mean I have to pretend to think they're right in what they believe or encourage them in those beliefs.
But they think they're right, too. So who are we to force what we believe on them?
Is that what I'm doing?
Sometimes it looks that way. We say we're right to follow God's design and want others to do the same, but it's not like we're perfect.
By saying that God's design is the right way to go, I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm saying that God is, so his design is. Meanwhile, we live in a sinful world and suffer the consequences of that in everything we do.
Well, if that's true, then what's wrong with people living the way they want with whoever they want to marry or call a family? If that's what they want to be happy.
Well, I suppose that's what puts me at odds with a lot of people. I don't believe being happy is the be-all and end-all to life. As a Christian, I believe this life is a small part of an eternal one. What we decide here impacts what happens to us there. If I tolerate everything that makes me or others happy, even if it's wrong, well, I'm encouraging people to live out lives that could hurt their souls for eternity.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Even apart from the spiritual reality, the decisions one group makes in any culture affects everyone. Eventually, in any culture, one particular worldview wins out by votes or by dictation. It's a tug of war, Olivia.
Yeah.
And since I'm allowed to vote and have the freedom to speak and debate, I'm going to champion the worldview I think is best for all of us. Miss Adelaide is doing the same thing with her worldview.
But if people are reasonable, they can figure out how to get along.
People aren't always reasonable when it comes to what they think they want. Would it help if you experienced what we're talking about?
Experienced it?
As an adventure. In the Room of Consequence. Though it's not like a Room of Consequence experience you've ever had.
How's it different?
Well, you'll have to see for yourself. To be honest, it may be one of the most difficult programs I've worked on. And all it does is explore a basic question.
What question?
Does family really matter?
That's it?
Isn't that at the heart of the issue? Does God's design for marriage and family make any difference at all?
So I'm going to experience that question? How can I experience a question?
Well, you'll have to take the adventure to find out.
Okay, I'll do it.
In today's adventure, Whit took a train set and used it to explain some fairly complex ideas. Were you able to follow along? God's design for mankind wasn't an accident. It isn't something various people made up at different points in history. From the very beginning, male and female, marriage and family were a vital part of his plan. And that's why so many people are concerned and even sad by the way some people want to change his design or get rid of it completely. We know from experience that anytime we move away from God's plan, bad things can and will happen. So what do you think we can do to tell people about God's design? How can we persuade them to hold on to what God knows is best for us all? Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. The Ties That Bind was written and directed by Paul McCusker, with sound design by Nathan Jones, and music by John Campbell. And our executive producer was Dave Arnold. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.